Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the Dumb Dad Podcast. My name is Kevin, and I am a dumb dad.
Hey there. My name is Evan. I'm a dumb dad.
BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more.
You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline.
With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable.
BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events, Kevin.
Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit.
50%?
Yep. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards.
BetOnline.ag, where the game starts.
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Hello. How are you feeling?
Thanks for visiting.
Yeah. Thanks for having me over.
Thanks for coming to my fort. My dad's fort.
It's been a week or more.
It's always a week.
Well,
but what do you mean? Well, it's been a week for you and for me. A little more for me. I'm taking more this time. I'm going to take a little bit more for me.
Okay, that's fine.
Because today my son went to school for the first time in almost 2 weeks.
Well, okay. I don't mean to stop you there, but what I meant to say, I mean, we've probably started a podcast by saying it's been
right.
A week, but
that's why he stopped me.
But like, and we've been like complaining about the fact that it's been raining in LA a lot, but because of that, and
the mountains are beautiful.
The mountains are absolutely gorge.
Are you obnoxious to your wife about that stuff? My wife is constantly like,
about what?
I'm just like, God, look at those mountains. She's like, what happened to you?
The dad is
really
showing.
We're just going
on
a drive, and I'm like, yeah, it's nice to see snow-capped mountains, isn't it? It's nice.
No, what I was going to say is, like, because our kids go to a Parks and Rec center for preschool, mm-hmm. that they were using the facilities for our unhoused friends, yes. and neighbors. And so, which is great.
Mm-hmm. It is, Evan.
It's great.
Don't put a butt on there.
And
there you go.
As a result of that situation, our little preschooler friends, our little ones, were out of preschool for a week. Mm-hmm. So they could use the facilities for the unhoused for the cold temperatures and the rain and everything, mm-hmm. which just meant that last week was a bit of a, you know, and it's like
a schedule adjustment.
Thank you. An opportunity.
It was an opportunity in disguise.
Yeah. How retail are we being right now? We've gone corporate. Okay. Unfollow if you need to. And yeah, so it's just,
but if you wouldn't mind filling out a survey on the way out.
Yeah. But that was our situation this last week, and so it just felt a little bit crazier than...
Yeah.
And then on top of that, sick kiddos.
Always sick kiddos. Though.
Always sick kiddos. But
always sick kiddos.
That was the situation.
And it was really rainy.
Really rainy, yeah.
But we hit up all the old stomping grounds. We went to Discovery Cube. I think I went twice. I don't remember.
Yeah, you went twice. We went to the zoo for a day. Mm-hmm. And these are like... And the funny thing is, like, these are... small windows of opportunities in between super rainy days.
Yeah.
Or it's like, dude, it's going to start raining at 1. Should we hit up the zoo for a couple hours?
Right. The zoo we couldn't do. Discovery Cube is indoors. All of it was tough though. Like,
yeah.
When you tell your kids, at least this is how it was for my son. When I told him like, hey, school's not happening. He was like, great. Which is hilarious because he mm-hmm. loves school.
Yeah.
I don't know where that comes from. Like my daughter disliking school makes sense to me because like she has homework. I'm sure, I don't remember first grade and they tell you very little. We discussed this earlier. They get out of school and you're like, what did they do today? And they go, I don't remember. But like there are certain things they do that they're just not going to enjoy. But for the most part, preschool is pretty. Like the ABC song is fun to sing at their age.
Yeah.
That's a fun activity. But so when my son's like...
First grade is really the... It's a blend of the two.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll say, you know, you're heading into next year. Like second grade is when you're told like second grade is really when it's like, okay, now it starts. Now it's like, there's no more room for...
No more fun. If I see you smile, oh my gosh.
Not that there's no more fun, but you know that... First grade is really is the blend of the two. And then they tell you like second grade is now it's time to kind of like begin your learning experience. You know, the internet does not lie. but yeah, I mean, that's not to say in comparison, like where we are, but like that's, but still her experience of like sort of sometimes wanting to go to school, sometimes not wanting to go to school and homework at a young age is all kind of wild.
Yeah.
But you know, and I only say that from my experience of having a kid in second grade right now, when it does definitely feel different than first grade, more so than it did from preschool to kindergarten and kindergarten to first grade. Now it felt like more of a jump to go to second grade is what I'll say.
What I look forward to is you're basically treating now school grades like people treat like terrible twos. What was the worst for you?
Oh, 40
is the worst. And you're kind of doing that with grades where you're going to go like next year, you're going to go. Here's the interesting thing. Second grade is a little more buckle. Third grade is where, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But
well,
anyway.
That's going to be true, but I see what you're saying. I know.
But my son loves preschool, loves mm-hmm. it so much, loves his friends there, loves the teacher, mm-hmm. loves playing in the room and then playing after. But it's probably because of it's a structure that's not his idea. That he doesn't have a say in a way that maybe that's the thing he doesn't like about school. Cause when I tell him you don't have school today, he's like, great. And you're like, but not really though.
He lives there.
You like all of it.
Not for me, but for you.
Yeah.
Like, but he's moment to moment.
He's in the moment guy.
Yeah.
He's like, great. What an adventure. What are we doing today then?
Yeah.
He looks at me with like fire in his eyes and I just fear in my soul.
What's the next moment we're tackling at 1,000%?
Oh my
capacity.
Gosh, we get so much done at preschool and have so much fun. I can't wait to see what you have in store for me today because it's just one-on-one. So you should have a good amount of things
I can't
planned.
Imagine what my little sponge brain will absorb today, Dad. Yeah, it's trial by fire today. Yeah. I wasn't prepared for this. My coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
So it's great. We did a great job. We had so much fun. One day at Discovery Cube, though, it snowed.
I know. We're doing the weather thing, but it really did.
And here's the thing. I grew up in Massachusetts. I've lived in the snow. Mm-hmm. I've had the whole situation. I've mm-hmm. shoveled the walkways.
To earn your 5 pence.
Yeah. Admission back into the house is what my father would do. Padlock the doors.
there's a scale out front. I want to see it say 20 pounds
exactly
before you can enter.
So I'm very familiar with snow, and I'm excited for my kids who have seen, well, my daughter has seen snow.
They've heard of it. It's a rumor.
My son definitely has never seen it snowing.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. And we were inside. I looked out the window and I just like, it was that old thing. I haven't seen it snow in years, but looking out the window, I was like, the movement, because we were far enough away. I was like, I don't think that's rain.
That's moving slow too slowly. It's a slow rain. It was funny. We were upstairs at the Discovery Cube and I looked over and you were like nose against the glass. Wait a second. I recognize
downstairs
this.
At once. And I grabbed the kids and then we ran downstairs. Your daughter couldn't have cared.
Well, being from Seattle, my interpretation, I was like, is it snaining? Which is my description of snowing and raining. And it wasn't. It was kind of snowing. It was like a...
Most people call that sleet.
Meh, not for me.
Snaining. It's a gross name.
It's funnier to me. You were so pumped about it. But then when I looked at you and saw that it was like, it really was like, this is wild. It's snowing outside. It was really snowing. And, you know, what I thought was wild about it is that, like, you know, we drove there and got out of the car and walked into the facility. It didn't feel like it's so cold. We need to get inside quickly. It didn't feel like it was like freezing temperatures. Mm-hmm.
It was warm enough that I was like, I don't want you to wear your jacket because then I'll just be carrying it inside the whole
thing. Yeah. Lo and behold, it was snowing outside.
It was snowing. And then my son also at first was like, it's snowing. And I got a video. I got like a 1 minute video, probably less than that. It's probably 30 seconds of my son. I turned it on. And I was like, what is this? What's happening? And he's like, it's snowing. Can we go back inside?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to discover in the cube. What are we doing out here? Holding on to your nostalgia that I have no connection to? Can we get inside? It was funny. I mean, it was like it was melting the second it hit your hand and to the ground. Mm-hmm. But I think for the both of us, it was funny to think like, right, but, and I know the little kids don't recognize this, but if we zoom out on a map, we're in Southern California, and it was snowing, which
this
was kind of the wild
part. End times, I think.
Yeah, the end of days
because
is now.
This is hell freezing over.
I can feel it in my feet.
Yeah,
it was wild.
It was wild. So we had a week. I feel like we got through it pretty well, and then hit the weekend. Visited the parents.
It was your dad's birthday. Shout out your dad. Happy birthday.
Shout out. It was his birthday on the 1st, but you know, it was midweek. So we went on the weekend to hang out. It was great. Took him golfing.
Yep.
Real fun. And then
you destroyed him. You took all of his money.
Him. Yeah.
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 You see that?
I threw him in the pond.
That's
and
right.
Drove home. Yeah. Hit a
you
walk.
Know what? And we have a podcast so we can just lay that down as facts now.
That's what happened. He's going to beat me up when he hears this. But it was like Saturday, my daughter, you know, we've been going through it this winter with this sickness, as a lot of families have. And then my daughter on Saturday just says something about like, she doesn't feel well, but not like a little kid does. Just goes, feel weird or something. And my wife just like had that motherly intuition and was like, grabs the thermometer right away, scans her. She's 101 or 102 or something.
Yeah.
And
this is in the desert with your parents.
This is the desert with my parents. And it was funny. My parents they're such sweet grandparents that I was like, all right, so should we get out of here?
Yeah.
And,
I know.
And they were like, no, you're fine. We were like, okay.
Yeah.
And it was funny because as we were packing,
everybody taking airborne.
We're throwing the last minute stuff in the bag.
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments where I came through, Evan. But we were packing and then I was like, you know, do we have the, you know, the DOP kit with all the toothbrushes and toothpaste and everything in there? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, is there Tylenol or Motrin in there? And she's like, my wife goes, no. But we probably don't need it. And I was like, nah, I'm going to grab it.
Because she jinxed you in that moment.
But I grabbed it.
Right. So you grabbed it.
Right. Yeah. There was enough time. There's enough pause there for the virus to incubate into my daughter.
Exactly. It only needs a second.
The curse is like, I live.
I will incubate
a non-believer. So she was like, we were like, are you okay? Do you feel... And she's like, my throat feels kind of weird. And I was like, here. She just had strep throat not that long
ago. Yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
So we just like, we looked in her throat and we're like, yeah, that looks like it's strep. You feel okay? And she's like, yeah, I feel fine. And we're like, well, okay. So we just like load her up with medicine, enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Kids, you we know, leave here's, on Sunday. Here's a hot take for you. Kids are so unreliable.
They're unreliable.
My son is sick right now. I'm going to interrupt you for 5 seconds here. He's had a stuffy nose since yesterday. And then he woke up this morning. He's doing that croup cough. Like,
yeah.
Croup. It sounds like we have a seal living with us. No fever, though.
Yeah.
Just, I think what has happened now, he's established, like, when he gets sick as a kid, that's how he's going to cough. So we kept him out of school today. But I asked him this morning.
How nervous are you that that's going to just be his cough?
I think it is.
Forever?
Well, until maybe he becomes less of a child and more of a preteen or something, maybe as his body develops. But like, this happened last time too, where I'm like, oh my God, he has croup again. It makes sense. Their little immune systems reset through the pandemic, blah, blah, blah. But like, I mean, literally he's in there. Oh, oh, oh. That's what he sounds like when he's coughing. And we're like, everyone would like send us letters if we sent him to school today. Because like, what are you doing sending a kid to school like that?
Yeah.
But I asked him this morning, how do you feel, bud? Fine. Like, he was blowing his nose all day yesterday, which is fine. It's like, kids have runny noses, and for the most part, maybe wear a mask today so we don't get our friends sick. But then he wakes up today in the morning, like, you could balance a beach ball on his nose. And like, but who are we to send a kid to school like that, where everyone's like, and especially the teacher, like, what is happening to you? But I just think like, but he doesn't, again, he doesn't have a fever or anything. Uh-huh. I just think that's how it's going to be going forward if he has a cough. But it just is wild.
I mean, like that you think that the teacher would be shocked. So the teacher would be like, all right.
It sounds crazy, man. Like the cough sounds crazy.
I'm sure it's not her first round of croup kid in her classroom is my point.
I know. Anyway.
So anyway, we left Sunday bright and early, ish. You know, but like we weren't hanging out for the day. It was like, had breakfast. All right, let's get out of here.
Get out of here.
Because we're getting you to urgent care.
Yeah.
Because if this is strep, the rule across the board is you're on medication for 24 hours. You're no longer contagious. So in my head, I'm like, well, Monday is already out. So let's try to get back to school on Tuesday.
Right. We're already all going to absorb it in the car on the way back to Los Angeles.
So they moved. So we get her home. We get her to urgent care. They're like, yep, she has strep. They treat her for it. Get her medication. Great. Okay. We did it. And then the next day, Monday, both kids are home because of the unhoused situation. They like pushed it one more day because our school is normally Monday through Thursday. Now it's going to be Tuesday through Friday.
Right.
So they're like, well, he has Monday off. And I was like, I already have one kid. What's one more? Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Now my son, Monday, starts showing signs of not being great. I'm not.
What a trending situation for your family. You already know what to look for.
Yeah.
This whole winter, you guys have just kind of just gone through the muck of it. I mean.
Well, here's the thing. And here's where kind of my dumb dad moment-ish lies. And it's this. And this is kind of a dumb dad moment that, like, depending on who your kid is, and we were just on a live, and it depending on, like, how your kid is and how clinging they are and whatever, it's different for every person. But for some people, this particular dumb dad moment cannot be avoided. And my son was sick. He was not feeling well. We're giving him Tylenol, but he's cranky. And so when it was bedtime, it's like, well, I'll lay down with you, buddy, until you feel better. And now, are we just laying down in the same bed, 3 inches from each other's mouths, playing catch the carbon dioxide? Yes, we are. That's what we're doing. Did I get strep throat? Of course I did.
Of course you did. Yeah.
Of course I did. Without question. But it was one of those like parent moments. One of those parent dumb dad moments that you're like, You gotta take this one because he needs somebody to lay down.
Take one for the team.
Because I can go. He doesn't understand. Like I might be able to pull that off with my daughter who's almost 7 and be like, "Hey, you're sick. We gotta protect the family." And I have done that to her. I'm like, "Hey, you're sick. You know, I want to lay down with you, but like, we don't want to get me sick and then mommy sick and the whole house is, we don't want that. So I love you. I'm here for you.
I have a question about that. Like, do you think that, because I agree with you, like you have a certain responsibility. Your responsibility is to keep your children safe and uh-huh. feeling comfortable. And you bear the brunt of that as a parent mm-hmm. in the situation you're describing.
Yeah.
Like if you catch it, you do whatever.
Yeah.
But like, where do you feel that line is? Like I don't mean to criticize you here. That's not what this is. But to bring that up to your daughter who is, at her age, do you think that even that she can comprehend that? Do you feel that's young or no?
I think there's a line.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's
not her responsibility to comprehend protecting the family.
No, and that's not how we think she definitely doesn't internalize it or anything like that. It's always to her like, man. But we're just like, hey, it's just one of those things that if we get near you, we might get it. We definitely know we're not making her feel like it's her fault because we can tell she's not internalizing
that's my question. Yeah.
No, and she's not. And, or she is, and she'll turn out, you know, real weird. And
well, and I say that because as my son now has a bit of a cold.
Yeah.
He sounds like he has croup, but he doesn't have croup.
Uh-huh.
It manifests like that.
Yeah.
But today we kept him home from school.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I spent some time with him today in his room. It's not like, I'm in his room. We were playing chess together. He's been into the idea of playing chess. Like I'm sitting across from him playing chess.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to play some video games. I'm playing video games with him. He wanted to cuddle up next to me. And I was like, you know, we don't need to necessarily sit right next to each other. And as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I felt really guilty. Like, he's home from school. According to him, he feels great, but he is sick. But I felt very guilty in that moment of like, what is that to me? Like, hey man, keep your distance. I don't want to get sick. That's not how I said it, but I'm worried that that's how he interprets it. And what is that to him as an 8-year-old to feel the brunt of that? That's not his fault.
Yes,
and that's kind of why I bring that up again. Like again, no criticism to you, but like maybe coming off the back of the last 3 years of like COVID and all these things, like that's on our brains, of course, way more than it is on the children's brains. But yeah, but that's there, right?
I'll say because you and your family never got COVID, you have to do that. Like you have to, like our kids got it first and we had to tell them like, we cannot lay down with you. We had to wear masks near them. We have to really kind of avoid touching you as much as possible.
Right? Because they don't understand that, you know, there's no way they can understand that.
It's all about how you word it though. Like if you're wording it, like if I touch you, I will get sick from you and you will be the reason I'm sick. Then yeah. But like, if you just tell them, hey, you've got a bug in you, you've got a virus that's living inside of you, and it wants to jump from you to me, let's try to not let that happen.
I'm going to keep
juking left and right.
Dodging a weaving over here.
But if you just word it in a way of just like, we just want to end this so that nobody else is sick in the house anymore. We can probably stop it with you here. And that's how we had to do it with COVID. Didn't work. But that's how we word it. But yeah, like I ran the gambit with my son, but I really feel like it's always how you word it. All things with parenting, it's how you word it. It's like why the whole gentle parenting thing right now is don't say but, because then you negate the first thing that you say. Like,
sure.
I can see that you're angry, but mm-hmm. well, then you don't care that I'm angry. And then, I think it's the same thing with being sick. It's just like, hey, let's just try to stop it. Everybody else from being sick. I hate that you're sick. I want you to get as better as possible so we can all play together again. But if I get sick, then even you'll be feeling better and then I can't play with you because I'm that kind of thing. And wording it like that,
it's just really, it's really interesting because again, they don't, you know, I mean, and again, we're talking about children 8 and younger, and they don't comprehend more than two things. And where we're compartmentalizing all of the situation, right? And so it's, you're right. It's how you word it.
It's also
sometimes no matter how you word it, they're not going to be able to they're not going to be able to like weigh all of these things against the
But I'm also not going to be able to tell you how to tell your son how you're going to keep away from him, because you have your own kid and you know, especially your son, who's very much, very emotional, wears his emotions on his sleeve.
Yeah.
You know how to approach that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know how to approach my daughter, with her thing. She's, I mean, I'm assuming at 18, I'll never see her again.
you think she'll make it that long?
she's stuck here. The economy's terrible. But I know how to approach my kid, and you know how to approach yours, and everybody out there knows how to approach their kid. So that's just what I mean. It's like you word it in the way where they're just like, don't make them feel bad.
You're trying to help them understand as much as you can.
Try to help them understand as much as they can. Yeah. My son, who's three, going back to where I was, well, you said you weren't going to interrupt for more than 5 seconds, 20 minutes ago.
boom, roasted. My apologies. I apologize.
But no, my son who's three, he's not going to understand any of that. You can't do, doesn't matter how you word it.
Yeah.
He's just going to, if I'm like, no, I can't cuddle you, no matter what I say with somebody who, even if I don't normally cuddle him, he's feels terrible right
now. Yeah, that's the only thing he's going to hear. He can hear one thing.
I feel bad. I want you to comfort me. And I go, I won't.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Leave
the
room. He's going to be screaming, crying his eyes out with already a fever. You know, like, it's just like, all right, I'm going to lay down.
God, hashtag parent guilt. I mean, that's what it's all out of the stuff lies.
So it's just
right?
like, all right, I'm going to lay down with you until you pass out.
I'm going to take all of your sickness and I will have it tomorrow. Yeah.
But I will say, like, the plus side of you guys all being sick when you've just failed and cutting off the whatever it is, the stem of infection, whatever, and you're all sick, when you guys have like those fever chills, you just keep each other warm. It's nice. It's a nice kind of feed off of each other.
I just think this kind of stuff is so interesting because, as you know, as we've talked about before, parenting evolves. It's always evolved. It's different, and you're always managing like the new expectations. But I think it's being a parent over the last 3 years because of the pandemic and everything has changed exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means to be a stay-at-home parent has changed exponentially. And having your kids,
well, for a lot of them, it's staying at home parenting and also having a job somewhere else that you're doing remote.
doing remotely has changed. Yeah. Like, the world has changed a lot, right? And so, but that just filters down into everybody's situation. And our situation is that we're stay-at-home parents and we have kids. And like, specifically so in our situation, that two of our little children spent like the greatest point, a part of their young lives, not going anywhere, and just knowing that life means you just don't go anywhere and you live your life with your mom and dad in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our little ones. And then branching out of that, whereas we're referencing that situation to the rest of our experience as people.
Yeah.
That's all that they know. And so even something as simple as going into preschool for the first time was like a big thing, because all of a sudden we're like around other people and other children that we've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to just coach them through that. And then adding
I go the exciting way. I go the Brendan Fraser blast from the past route. We've been stuck in this little, bomb shelter.
Yeah.
And now we get to come out and see that the world didn't end and you get to have fun.
Well, for sure. I mean, and I agree with that. Like that you want to excite them about that, but that's their only experience. And so I just think like all of this stuff is just so like brand new to all of us, whether you're the little kid or the parent or whatever your situation was.
That analogy holds up because Brendan Fraser was like horrible in the real world. Guys, Blast from the Past, if you haven't seen it, that reference was a blast from the past.
Like credit to that. So, okay, so here's one of the things I want to talk about this week. I think probably this episode is going to kind of go all over the place for the most part with dumb dad moments and experiences and stuff. But what you're saying is, and kind of what we're talking about is like kids growing up faster than we're prepared for. And part of these conversations is like, you're maybe sick and we don't want to pass, which is it's difficult for them to even comprehend.
Are we going to have the changing bodies?
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay.
But sort of adjacent.
Okay.
Okay. let me just do this really quickly. Backstory. I got, you know, you find yourself in your teenage years, they say, right? You sort of find yourself as a person in the teenage years. That's kind of the grand scheme
of things.
Until
I was like 32, but go on.
Sure. Which is 100% acceptable, Kevin. And we found each other and I love you. I really wanted to pierce my ears. I was like 19 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay. When I thought like, I think I really want to do that. Mm-hmm. And that was my experience growing up outside of high school, but thinking like, I think I really want to do this. And I made the decision to do this thing and blah, blah, blah. Pierced both my ears. Lo and behold, I probably had both of my ears pierced for, I don't even know, to be honest with you, 5 years. Let's make a guess.
Yeah.
Then after a while, I was sort of in love with the idea of maybe just like taking one out. And I've since then, since around 25 or so, I don't know, have always just had my left ear pierced. I wear a little earring in my left ear. And since I made that decision, I've never thought about it. I always just have this like little earring in my left ear to the point where like, I mean, I literally don't even think about it anymore. Because I don't ever take it out. I wear the same little, tiny little hoop in my left ear. And
it's super rusty.
It's I'm going through tetanus. I shouldn't have chosen a steel earring. To the point that I never think about it. Having children, I'm my own person. I'm raising children. And now my son, who looks up to me as a father, he's a boy, over the last 6 months or so, has gone through like the, I think I want to get my ear pierced.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's a dumb dad moment for you. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Not that I super question him about it, but I'm thinking, I don't even think, that's that to that extent that I don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? Okay. Not even realizing I'm asking him about it, and like he's looking at me with a pierced ear.
Yeah, dummy.
Dummy. And I hesitated with, and I will also hesitate to say that, to use the term allowed him to do it, because it wasn't like I was like, you're not doing that,
right?
But when he brings it up, I was like, interesting. Okay. And then private conversations with my wife about it. My wife was like, hell yes, let's let him do it. Mm-hmm. And I, for 3 or 4 months or so, I wouldn't say I was really pushing against it, but I was just hesitant because I didn't really know how to process it.
Right.
And it wasn't about anything other than probably me just, I think what it really comes down to is that I wasn't prepared for him, even as an 8-year-old, to make a decision like that and grow up faster than I thought he would be growing up.
Gotcha.
My brain went to like, what are your friends going to think? And what are you going to say about it?
What happens when you get made fun of? You were in protective mode.
Yeah. And I will say this, and I think maybe you were that kid. I got made fun of a lot when I was a kid. I was like the smaller kid. I was the wimpier kid. I got pushed around a lot, which is why I'm funny.
I've never experienced any of that.
I knew that comment was coming, and I appreciate that. but that was maybe some of my hesitation, was that I don't want him to go through any of that trauma, maybe, mm-hmm. or that experience as a kid, or getting made fun of, period. But kids are kids, and kids are mean because they want to, you know, kids want to just explore all of being a kid. Sometimes like, can I be mean? Can I make fun of? Can we be accepting or whatever? Mm-hmm. And I think I just didn't know how to do any of that. You know, I wasn't prepared for that conversation to have with an 8-year-old. When I felt like I matured later on as a person, making a big decision like that, it's not even a big decision, let's be honest. But I felt like it was a big decision to go through like 19 years old, 20 years old.
Yeah.
And how my son's like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get my ear pierced.
Yeah.
And like, I just wasn't ready for something like that to like, how do I process that? But huge credit to my wife, who constantly was like, well, like, what is your hesitation? And like, I couldn't even define it.
Was it, you said you got your ears pierced at 19?
Yeah.
So it was out of
Something somewhere around there, yeah.
So it was out of the question when you were living with your parents?
No. But, and I, not
you
to say that was out of the question.
Said yes if like you were in second grade and you're like, I want to get my ear pierced. You think your parents would have been like, let's do it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I also never really thought of it until
right.
I was older. So sure. I don't really want to play the game of like guessing because I don't know.
I solved it. Let's move on to the next issue. What else you got?
But so the solve was for a month or so, we got him like magnet earrings where you can like sort of like put yeah. them on and stuff.
Those
and we
are
thought
best.
Like, how long will he be in? I mean, I also will say, I mean, I don't have to remind you, like kids have like fleeting ideas.
Oh yeah.
Like my new favorite TV show is this. And then he sees a new TV show and's like, oh, this is the best, or right. this is the best movie I've ever seen. And then you go to the theater and see another movie and you're thinking like, God, that's poorly written. And the dialogue was horrible and the graphics were okay. And he's like, that's my new favorite movie.
Yeah.
Because that's how kids are.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But I'm thinking like, but maybe it's one of those things. And that was part of my hesitation. Like,
yeah.
but why put him through that and then do this whole thing? But my wife is constantly going, but like, what is the reason? Like, why? You know? And to her credit, it was like,
that's the only reason I was asking of your upbringing. It wasn't like, I think my parents would have been like, absolutely not. And yeah. I think a lot of parenting is, I don't think they're that way now. I don't think they'd have opinion. Obviously, I'm not going to pierce my 3-year-old's ears, but if my, you know, if my son turns, say your son's age.
Yeah.
And once his ears pierced, I'm sure my parents would be supportive of that. But back then, it probably would have been a hard no.
Yeah.
I'm not saying your parents were or weren't, but it might be that because a lot of parenting is like doing what your parents did or what you thought they did. Not even necessarily what they did, but like
yeah,
how you remember
your interpretation
it,
of what they
interpretation,
did.
Yeah. And then doing that and either moving forward with that or pushing against it mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if part of it was that. It was part of like in your brain, it was just like, well, the protective thing to do is blend in.
Yeah. No,
which is what a lot of parents do as an instinct is like,
yeah.
You know what's great is if like you just blend in and go away forever. Nobody can hurt you if they can't see you.
Yeah. Right. And, and I appreciate that. And yeah. But when I was having this conversation with my, and when I was having this conversation with
there you
my,
go.
Gentle so, podcasting,
you're getting there.
Gentle podcasting. And when I was having this conversation with my wife and she kind of really helped lead me to the conclusion of like, well, what, if I can't define my hangup, mm-hmm. then that's not on me, especially not on my son at all. Mm-hmm. And then I really started to celebrate the idea. She's like, okay, she asked me, here's the direct question she asked me, which I appreciated the most. What is the worst case scenario? And like, I couldn't really even define that.
Major infection.
Yeah, major infection. And she's like, so he doesn't like it and he takes it out and it like heals and has like a dot on his ear. Like that's the worst case scenario, yeah. You know? Cause otherwise if he gets made fun of so much, we can coach him through that. We can,
yeah.
You know, we can respond to that. So then when I was able to sort of get
what
over.
What did he call you? Oh, that's nothing. Here's what you say. No, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that. And so then I really sort of had this realization, like, I almost became exponentially proud of him at 8 years old to want to express himself as a person to go mm-hmm. for this thing.
Yeah.
And who am I to stop that?
Yeah.
Like, and if in 6 months it's a fling and he doesn't like it, great. Then let's take it out and try something else. Mm-hmm. Because why not try to find yourself as a person at a young age so that you can move on with the rest of your life. And
sure.
Like, I just really appreciated my wife's guidance through that because yeah. not that I had a definitive issue or reason as to why not, but mm-hmm. I, on the other side of the coin, I didn't have as much of a reason as to why, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, we went to the mall. On a weekend, didn't need to make a big thing of it, but we said, hey, want to go get your ear pierced? And we went and sat down and told the lady and went and got it done. I mean, and he wanted to hold my hand. He really wanted to do it. He was so afraid of what it might feel like, mm-hmm. whatever. He held my hand and I was, in that moment, I was like, man, in some ways, I wish I had this confidence of who I wanted to be or an idea of who I wanted to be mm-hmm. at 8. Again, it took me until 19 to like start exploring these ideas.
Spider-Man.
And his reaction
I
was...
I wanted to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, I wanted to be Spider-Man. And his reaction was like... It's like 3, 2, 1. And he's like, you could see all this anxiety fueling up in him. And she does it and he goes, ow. And then it was over.
Yeah.
It was so funny that like, dude, good for you. And so then it all, like a light switch, it switched into like pride that he was like, sure.
Yeah.
Like, go for it, man. Like, be your person, you know? So that was our experience during the week of like this last week and a half.
Where'd you go? You go to Claire's?
Literally, we went to Claire's.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know where else you go.
There you go.
But because we go to the mall a lot and he saw these places and he was like, I want to get my ear pierced. And it was like, sure. Well, I mean, they do a good job there. They sort of make it a thing to just be taken care of. And I'm like, here I am like filling out all these like parent permission forms and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, but it was a funny thing to just like, yeah, we just went to Claire's and get your parents. You make it a big deal as a parent and it's a big deal to him because he's afraid of it, but he also wants to do it and everything. But it's like really just like, you just kind of stand in line and get your parents. Yeah. I mean, it was like, it couldn't be faster, you know, like how it works, but...
Right before we started recording this podcast, I walked out, check on the kids and stuff. And my wife was like, your daughter just said she wants to get her ears pierced. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go record the podcast.
Do you know what that stems from?
One of her good friends at school.
Just got it done.
I don't think just got it done, but I don't know if
she noticed it. Or
she just had a birthday party.
Yeah.
That friend just had, were just at her birthday party. I don't know if they talked about it or she got new earrings or whatever. Newer, bigger earrings that were more obvious
hoops,
or something. Yeah.
And big,
she's
hoops,
like, what's
down
going
to her
on
shoulders.
There?
Yeah.
She just
door knockers.
Her arms on her. Where's
like, they call them door knockers.
Yeah. But I was like, okay. So it's funny you bring that up.
Okay. Can we move on to dumb dad moments?
Yeah. What is it?
We were lucky to be invited to a Netflix event maybe a couple months ago to a new show called My Dad the Bounty Hunter on Netflix. Fun show. Incredible animation for what the show is and where it came from. My daughter, who's 4, has since become like a huge absorber and fan of the show. Loves the show. We got invited to the event and they showed us like the first...
Two episodes. Yeah.
Right. And so, which, you know, sort of as classically sort of like involves you in the story, sort of shows you what it's going to be about. My daughter, who has access to like kids Netflix, and this is a kids Netflix show, has been watching the show. And so like 2 nights ago for dinner, she's like, I want to watch Dad the Bounty Hunter. We're like, sure. And she wanted to watch the last episode. Okay. I mean, I have only seen the 2 episodes that we watched, but she's like been watching the show. And part of this is like, I don't know, and people, I would love to have you let us know, like, and maybe Kevin, you could tell me as well, like, to what extent do you like watch something before you let your kids watch it? Now, in our experience, we got to watch the show. We watched the first two episodes and all of our kids were there. And we thought like, oh, this is a fun show. It's a cool animation, fun idea, like non-present dad, because of his job, realizes he needs to become more present. Uh-huh. And that was like the gist of it, which we thought was like a cool message and the animation was cool. We sit there and watch the final episode and it's like the guy that's been like, you know, in charge of the evil empire the whole time now is the final boss of the show that they needed to defeat. Shows up at the family's home after this conversation of them going, you know, I'm committed. I can't be more in love with my family and I'm sort of done with this and we need...
Yeah.
Then the guy shows up at the house.
Of course.
And that's like, you know, and it's like this big pivotal moment as we're sitting there eating, you know, our dinner. Mm-hmm. And like the battle ensues and for the
major,
most part...
Major spoilers for My Dad the Bounty Hunter.
Major spoilers... Moving forward, if you definitely want to stop from here. But I bring this up because here we're watching this thinking like, sure, we got invited to this thing. It was fun and we're watching the show. And then like the final battle involves the whole family. and this guy who like sort of cannot be defeated in some ways. And then he reaches out for his weapon or whatever. And then like, I don't remember which character, like cuts the guy's arm off. Now, again, this is animated.
Uh-huh.
But cuts the guy's arm up. He's like an alien. Okay, so it's not necessarily people versus people. He looks like a person. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He looks like a regular person, but part of his face gets scraped and it's like alien scales are revealed to a certain extent. But his arm gets cut off. And like, I'm sitting there eating dinner thinking like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Are we all prepared? I wasn't prepared for this. Certainly wasn't prepared for the children to watch this.
Dork dad.
Yeah. And they sort of like, it's a zoom in close up. It looks like cells that are there in his arm. And then because he's an alien, his arm like instantaneously grows back like a lizard growing its tail back. But it's within, you know, momentarily. Yeah. Now he's got his arm back. And I'm internalizing this like, uh-oh, I feel like I should have been a part of the precursor. Should they watch this or whatever? Especially with my four-year-old daughter sitting there.
Sure.
Her reaction is, his arm is magic? And that was her take.
She's not wrong.
Which I felt like, that was a freebie.
Well, she's probably seen that episode or other episode.
It. Yeah. And
that might be the eighth arm that's got cut off that season.
And I felt extra guilty that like, she's used to this. And I wasn't even a part of that.
Oh, sure.
So my question to you is like, to what extent, like, I've definitely done this before where I think like, I want to show them this movie that I loved when I was a kid. I should watch it really quick. I've done that before. But something like this that I've never seen before, assuming it's okay. And I don't know that I necessarily would have said, absolutely not. I felt guilty in that moment that it took me by surprise. And I was like, oh man, is this okay for four-year-olds? Like, I didn't know.
Yeah. I'm not in that situation yet where I need to. Like, I know what they're watching, that I don't even need to consider that. Full transparency, probably wouldn't watch anyway. But no, but my daughter is into, like, she's still deep in Minecraft. So when she watches something, she watches, like, Minecraft YouTube builds. And I'll poke my head in there because it's YouTube Kids, but it's still YouTube. Yeah. So I will like keep an eye here and there and poke my head in to make sure she's not watching something insane because it's the internet. But my son is watching The Floor is Lava on repeat. that's all he cares to watch.
Yeah.
So we're in a good spot right now. But I did have a similar moment I talked about, I think, on a previous episode where in the pandemic, stay-at-home orders are still in place. Nobody's going anywhere.
Yeah.
My daughter loves watching SciShow Kids is a great YouTube channel. If you guys don't know. Oh,
it's fantastic.
It's Hank Green's channel.
Really?
Yeah, SciShow is Hank Green's.
I didn't know that.
Whole thing.
And good for him. That's amazing.
He's the best. So SciShow Kids is more directly like for our kids' age. And SciShow is still for kids, but older. And so she'd watch a lot of those videos. And then, of course, other videos are suggested. So another one is Dr. Binox, who I've sat with my daughter and watched all of those. And not all of those. I've watched a ton of them. And I'm like, yeah, this guy's all right. He's good. It's learning. It's educational.
Yeah.
It's fine. And then he came out with one for COVID. And I was like, oh, this would be good for you to watch.
Uh-huh.
So you can like figure out so you can understand why we're staying home. And she's like, okay. She was like deep in SciShow Kids and Dr. Binox. So we watch, and now I'm like walking around the house doing things. And I come back at one point, and it's all like really poor animation. Like think almost like South Park, you know, where it's just like not a lot of mobility in any of the characters kind of thing. Anyway, you know, all right angles with their arms and stuff. And I walk in, and then they're just like, the shot is just panning an old ship where everyone is just dead on it. And like the guy is like, the bubonic plague was, and I was like, okay. Like,
it's something you don't need to know anything about right now.
And I think there was like, you could see blood here and there. And I was like, what are you doing? And like, I shut it off. And then I didn't, she's only just started watching that guy. That was, you know, the end of 2020.
I was going to say, and I kind of remember you telling me about that story, and that was a while ago. Yeah.
And it's now 2023, and my daughter has started watching his videos again. And I'm like, you're old enough now that if you came across that video, fine, we can talk about it.
Yeah. And if you have questions, you can talk through it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But like then,
no,
like three, hard, almost hard 3 years pass, ago, it was like two and a half years ago. I was like, yeah. No,
4.5 years older. Yeah. Like,
So I don't need to worry about that yet. They're not into, they've watched a couple of episodes of Ninja Turtles that were dicey, and we kind of walked away from those. But otherwise,
like, side note, the new Ninja Turtles movie looks so good. The trailer suck. Looks really good. You brought that up this week specifically. We deleted YouTube Kids off of the iPad because of the suggestion thing. Because like,
you deleted YouTube Kids because of the
YouTube Kids, yeah, which is a specific app, whatever. But we deleted it off of my daughter's tablet because of like suggested videos, and it's like it felt like a constant thing that you like have to like keep up with. And like,
yeah,
because
we took it away from my kids for that exact reason.
It's just like, it would suggest like all of a sudden, you know, she's like watching like
some family act out scenes
yeah. from Frozen or whatever, because she likes watching Anna and Elsa, which yeah. is fine. But then like, it's just like it's a rabbit hole. And then like, we would pay attention, like we'd hear it and then like, I don't like that. And then like, she'd go play in her room, and then we'd go through the iPad, like unfollow. But it would just constantly suggest, or like, you know, mm-hmm. they're savvy enough to like change the mm-hmm. hashtag or the name or whatever to stay in the feed. It was just like, they're learning nothing from this, and it just made me uncomfortable. So it was like,
we did that.
Why fight this constant battle when if they really want to watch something like that, we could just curate it and like sign into YouTube and watch it, you know, like on the TV or something. You know,
I don't remember if it's hidden. But our YouTube Kids, we deleted for a while, and then my daughter wanted to watch it, and she watches okay stuff, like she watches like Minecraft builds. But we did this to our son for the same exact reason.
It was just like,
we were like my daughter didn't have access to this at his age. She only had learning apps, and that was it. Now my son knows how to navigate Netflix. I don't think we really gave my daughter at his age that much. Like we would pick a show,
but they learn so early, you know, which is great. I mean, technology is only going to be so much more immersed in their experience as young adults and everything. But it just, it's like, man, it's trying to keep up with it is like crazy. Like, so just get rid of it now. Like, because
I endorse that.
At the same time, like the, you know, there's that like parent guilt of like, I'm taking this away from them, something that they like. But at the same time, like,
oh, I don't have that. With certain things like that, where I'm like, nah, there's no good out of this, and I can get you an app.
Yeah,
I'll pay $10 for an app that you're gonna fall in love with.
Right, exactly. That's my point. Like, but if I give you access to a tablet for 9 hours a day, something,
as long as you're awake.
Yeah, but if I give you access to a tablet, you'll find something on that you like, and if you don't, then that's okay too.
Yeah,
you know, and then you'll go find something else. Like, but rather than sit there and just like watch, it's like whatever that is, it just feels like, man, I don't know. I just felt like that's not really. I'd rather you bide your time doing anything else than that. Yeah. So we were just like, all right, let's just time to kind of dump it. And then my son, who watches like Minecraft guys or creators that show how to build things, whatever, we kind of had to explain to him, like, listen, we took it off of his iPad as well, but explaining to him that like, it's not really fair that you're going to have this and she doesn't. But if you really want to watch something, by all means, let us know and we can find it for you and we can watch it together. Or if you want to watch one of your favorite creators that shows an educational way to like create things in Minecraft or build things or whatever, like by all means. But it's not really fair that you get to do it and she sees it, because she doesn't know how to compartmentalize any of that. So it was just like, let's just pull it now.
For sure.
And then like, you know, eliminate that experience. But anyway, so we went there with it, but just something to think about. I think, you know, when like screen time is one thing, but how they're utilizing that screen time is a whole different thing.
It's tough.
That feels pretty good.
That feels real good.
That feels pretty good.
Guys, if you've got some, I mean, we've covered some stuff. We got some ear piercing stories. If you guys have some, do you cuddle with your kids when you're sick? Or you're like, get away from me? Or what's your screen time situation? Have you had some screen time or TV show unmonitored moments that went real sideways? You guys can write in and tell us about it, your dumb parenting mm-hmm. moments. You can email us, dumbdadpod@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram, where we are at the Dumb Dads, which is our handle on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube, where you can watch full episodes of this podcast. So do that. Check all those things out. Rate and review this podcast if you guys haven't already. Every rating that we get really helps push us farther out to more people, which really helps us. And we really appreciate it if you've done it. And thanks, as always, to @Verdu on SoundCloud for the music for this podcast. And thanks to my lovely wife, Annie, for editing this podcast. Evan, do you have a joke to end this podcast?
Yeah, I got something for you.
Okay.
I got a question, joke, mm-hmm. what have you. See if we can solve it. How does the moon cut its hair?
With an eclipse?
You, credit to you, buddy. You're really close. Eclipse it.
Eclipse it.
Yeah, you're right there. Yeah. It's hard to slip one past the goal. And Kevin, you got big arms and legs and hands and I don't know what's okay. happening. We're just trying to buy some time. We're going to play the outro music. We can get into the end of the episode. And the
how do I stop okay. this
moment. And then we're going to say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Welcome to the world, little one. Welcome to life.
How do I stop this?
The Dumb Dad Podcast is proudly presented by Bet Online.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.